This week's mailbag comes to us from Ireland on Facebook. It works. It works. It works. My Sunday basket is an organize on Tuesday mornings, execute Tuesday nights, 3 hours, and I made $500. Okay, so I spent it first, but had rebates to submit and reimbursements to write up, so in 10 to 12 weeks, I should have money windfall. Before, I would have left these to the last minute, decided I didn't have time to turn them in, and ate the cost. Well, not anymore. My bank account will be happy, happy, joy, joy, and I feel accomplished. Seriously, if you're sitting on some fence wondering if it works, it does, it does, it does. Oh, and I spent 15 minutes on two cabinets today because it was scheduled. Thanks, Ireland. Do you have an Organize 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organize365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Personal development and growth is such an interesting and fascinating field of study for me. I often hear it said that being an entrepreneur and growing a business is really a journey in personal development and fulfillment. And boy, is that true. The bigger your team gets and your company and your idea, and as it starts to take traction in the marketplace, you come up against a lot of limiting beliefs and models of how you thought the world was that you need to unpack, analyze, and decide if that is still true today. I am super excited about not coming out with any new products in 2020. And because I made that decision in 2019, it really has opened up a lot of different possibilities for growing Organize 365, growing myself as a person, and the kind of podcast that I can bring to you. Like, I'm not thinking about, oh, we're coming out with this new product in this month, so I need to create a podcast that would, you know, explain to you why I created this product. And it's odd. Like, you as a listener wouldn't think about it that way, but you know, it's very odd to have a company where you know that the products are there, and sure, we're going to improve upon those and give more offerings inside of All Access, but nothing that's going to cost you more money or change what we are selling. Like, we are selling the transformation from being overwhelmed and not knowing what to do in your house and feeling like you're trapped to more time than you know what to do with and really feeling like you've come home at the end of the day. Along the way, in teaching you those things, I have learned a lot about myself personally, and many of you have joined me on that journey, and you now are sitting in that house that feels like a home with more time than you know what to do with. And you've said to me, Lisa, you say that you want to help us get organized so that we can go out and do and be and give back to the world what we were uniquely created to do and be. And I have no idea who that is. I never thought I'd get to the point where I had enough time to unpack that. And now that I'm here, I don't even know where to start. And I've been thinking about that for months and thinking, well, where do we start and what do we do? And that is what I'm going to unpack for you in the next probably 10 to 12 podcast episodes. I'm going to bring in experts that I have counseled with, books that I've read, assessments that I've taken, growth that I've done, and kind of walk you on that journey, not on how to organize your house, but in the process of getting organized. And when you are organized, what do you do with that time? And what is your unique gift that's meant to be shared with the world? I can't share that for you. I can't give you the answer to that, but I'm going to walk you through how I figured out what mine was and see if that helps you as well. One of the decisions I made about 3 years ago was to start eliminating product lines, service offerings, coaching, and mentorship inside of Organize 365. And I did this purposefully. It was almost like You've probably heard that saying where you have to burn the ships. Like when you get to port, you burn the ship so you can't possibly go back. That's kind of what I did 3 years ago. And I decided that even though I'm very qualified to be a business coach and I've helped many people launch their businesses, I was no longer going to be a business coach. And I could help you start your business. There are a lot of things I could do. I could do a mastermind. I could do one-on-one coaching. I could do VIP days. There were so many things that I could do that I purposely decided not to do because I love business. Like I love it so much. I love growing my business. I love growing other people's businesses. Like if you get me in a conversation, I'm going to give you 18 ideas about how you can grow your business that are all viable and you will leave with your head spinning. Like I used to call myself a professional head spinner. That's what I would do. You would talk to me for 30 minutes and you could go and have 12 months worth of executionable ideas in your business that were all really good and unique and different. It's just the way I think. But I realized what my true unique calling in the marketplace was, is to help homeowners at home get organized. And the reason why I had to burn the ships and say that I wasn't going to be a business coach and I wasn't going to help you with what your next thing is because I love it. It comes so easily to me. It's highly lucrative. I could be making more money if I was already doing that. But I don't think it's what I'm uniquely called to do. I think what I'm uniquely called to do is to help the homeowner at home and make their house feel like a home so that they have the time to go find a business coach, a sports coach, a start a volunteer organization, like whatever it is. My going into coaching actually would limit the amount of people that I could reach and the impact I could make on the world because it would be limited by my business knowledge. And I don't have a business degree. I have a teaching degree. It's a whole nother thing. I think the fact that I'm a teacher is really helping me grow my business. I'm sure I'll unpack that in the future. So what I want to do in the next like 10 to 12 podcasts is I want us to kind of sign up for Lisa University and really deep dive into what makes you uniquely you. Now, I could tell you what we're going to unpack here in February and then what we're going to start in March. And I'm not sure if March will just be a couple of episodes or if it'll be like 8 to 10. I think it might be 8 to 10. So in February, the month of love and Valentine's Day, we're going to focus only on you. You. Like what makes you uniquely you. And I want you to be selfish about this. You don't have to tell anybody else, but for the whole month of February and everything that you get from Organize 365, I want you to just think about you. Now, I have launched my YouTube channel again, and I'm sharing book reviews every single Monday. And in February, I want to walk you through the first three that I'm sharing, which will help you uncover all about you. The first one is The Power of When, which will have already come out by the time you listen to this podcast episode. I did a whole podcast about the book The Power of When back in episode 165, and I've talked about this book at both of our live conferences, the one in Dallas and Embrace last year in Cincinnati. The Power of When talks about how there are four different chronotypes. This is, are you a morning person or are you an evening person or are you a person that literally never sleeps? Or are you like the majority of people who are bears? And I am really diving deep into right now about, am I a bear or am I a morning person? Like I am on the cusp. When I take the test, I'm a bear. A bear gets up at like 7 or 8. They work 9 to 5. They eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at like 9 a.m., noon, and 5 or 6. You know, they eat normal times of day. They can go to a party. They're going to leave like around 11. Like they just, regular American life works for a bear. A lion is a morning person. They like naturally get up between 5 and 6 a.m. And I'm trying to figure out, do I naturally get up between 5 and 6 a.m.? I mean, I've done it in the past. And I'm trying to figure out how to reset my biological clock so I know when my optimal time for getting up is. It's a little rabbit trail here, but I am, you know, probably perimenopausal. I don't know. I went to the Happy Hormone Cottage. I'm trying the different creams and things. Greg is snoring. I can't sleep. I'm trying to figure out like when is my ideal time to go to bed and my ideal time to wake up. And I think push come to shove, I really am a lion. I'm a morning person. I need to go to bed a little bit earlier and I need to go ahead and get up by 5:30 or 6 in the morning, which sounds crazy when I can get up whenever the heck I want. because I don't have to start work until 8, but I think I might try it. Lions tend not to do so well at night, though. They can't stay out very late because they need to go to bed earlier. And then there are dolphins. Wolves are the evening people. Definitely not me. Definitely my son, Joey. And dolphins are people who never really sleep. So if you want to learn more about that, head on over to the YouTube channel or go back to episode 165. Now, next Monday, I'm going to share a book called How the World Sees You by Sally Hogshead, and she unpacks your fascination advantage. And I have not done a podcast episode about this book, but I have talked about it. I talked about it at the first conference in Dallas. Your fascination advantage, there are 49 different fascination advantages, and they talk to you about how you intrigue people, why people listen more, like, why are you still listening to the podcast? There's something about how I am sharing this message that resonates with you that is pulling you towards me, or you wouldn't still be listening. And there are other podcasts you turn on and you're like, oh, can't do that one for whatever reason. I find that when people are talking on a podcast, like they're doing a presentation, like I call it a masterclass because I don't really do it like a presentation, but someone who's doing a webinar or a from stage presentation tends to be more forceful in their delivery, tends to be, you know, point, without a lot of segue and conversation in it. Feels like I'm in a classroom versus just sitting next to a good friend. Those kind of podcasts, I used to love them, and now I find that they're not resonating with me at all. That's your fascination advantage. Like, what are the things that you're really good at, and how do people draw you in? Joey is a mystic, and a mystic is super quiet, but you just like want to get to know them better. Like, there's something about their quietness that you want to get to know better. I found that this book was amazingly awesome for me in figuring out what my kids' fascination advantages were and in helping them figure out what their careers are. So that'll be on the YouTube channel on Monday. And then the next one is The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. Now, I interviewed Gretchen Rubin back in podcast episode 223, and I told you all about her book, The Four Tendencies, and she and I talked about it. And then I'm going to be doing a YouTube review of that book, The Four Tendencies. And then you guys guessed what I was, and most of you guessed wrong. I am a questioner. And so then I unpacked what it means to be a questioner and why I'm a questioner in podcast number 224. So those are the three books that I'm deep diving into on the YouTube channel. Now, you don't have to buy these books. You can go get them at the library. You can do the quiz for The Power of When online for free. You could do the Four Tendency quiz online for free. I think Sally Hogshead also has her Fascination Advantage quiz online for free as well. So you could do all of those different assessments, listen to those podcasts, watch those YouTube videos, all for free. Just figuring out, what is your optimal time of day? How does the world see you? What is the thing that you do that draws people to you? And everyone has one. That's what I love about Sally Hogshead, is everyone has a fascination advantage that literally draws people to you. But if you're looking at someone else that has a different fascination advantage and that's not yours, then often you might try to change to be that fascination advantage in order to achieve that success or get whatever that person has, when you should really just be focusing on your own unique fascination advantage. And then Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies, I'm sure will be coming out more in these podcasts as we go along. It's just, how do you get yourself to get stuff done? I have to get all my questions answered before I'm going to get anything done. A rebel just is really hard to get anything to get done. An obliger needs to be told what to get done. And an upholder is in the middle of a questioner and an obliger. So you can check that out too. I am going to introduce you now in the next couple of episodes to three people that will help you see yourselves a little bit differently. These, I just told you about The Power of When, How the World Sees You, and The Four Tendencies. Those I have unpacked at the live conferences, on podcasts, and in YouTube. Now I want to introduce you to three new people that are going to give you different assessments that you can do and different ways that you can look at the things that you're already doing. So in February, we're going to have three interviews in a row. I'm super, super excited to introduce you to those people. And then in March, I'm going to switch to what I'm calling models and mentors. One of the things that I do at the Embrace Conference in the summer is I It's so hard for me to describe because I just do it. But I have been spending a lot of time in January with the company going through my branding, my messaging, what's unique about Organize 365 compared to all the other companies out there. What do we do here that's totally different? And so I was asked, what do you want your audience to take away from your podcast from Organize 365? And this is what I said. I want to pose questions to you, because I'm a questioner, that make you see your home in a completely different light so that you can't unsee it, and then you make different choices going forward. That's what I want to do in Organize 365. I want to like gently shake you and go, hey, wake up. Like, wake up. Things can look different than this. And as I've been pondering this over the last couple of months, I realized that there are a lot of different models and mentors that I've had over my lifetime that have caused me to see the world differently. And as I am getting to the point where I have more time and I have more space and our financial resources are going further than they ever have before, I'm able to take a breath and look around and realize the world is so different. Like, my view of the world is so different than everyone else's because of where I was born, how I grew up, the experiences that I have. And social media and being able to look at what everyone else is doing in the world is amazingly awesome, because it allows me to see bigger and question more and think more. And occasionally I have to stop doing all that, because as a questioner, I go down these rabbit trails and I give myself migraines, because I try to, like, how can I speak to a mom of six on a farmhouse in Iowa and, you know, a millennial career woman living in an apartment in Japan at the same time? Like, how can my message resonate with both of those people? And often when you do any branding work in your company, they're like, think of one person, one person. I'm like, no, I can't do it. I just can't. Literally, we have children listening to this podcast, and we have 80-year-old women listening to this podcast, and everything in between. Like, organization appeals to so many. So if it appeals to so many, and I am not going after a specific demographic, who are you? Who are you that are listening to the Organize 365 podcast? And I have been saying this for years, and all the branding companies try to get me to change, but then they realize that I understand you so well. They're like, okay, maybe she's right. You are a person who has had enough, and you no longer want to just live your status quo life in a house that you don't feel like you have control over. As a matter of fact, you don't feel like you have control over very much in the world. And you're drawing a line in the sand, and you're saying, enough is enough. I am going to be the change that I need. I am going to have a stress-free life. I am going to come home to a house that feels like a home. Whatever it takes, I'm going to figure out how to do this, because I'm not going to go on like this anymore. That's you. It doesn't matter how old you are or where you live or what your financial resources are. That is the commonality of the Organize 365 listener. They have decided that they want to make a change, and they're not sure how, and they're not even really sure what it's going to look like at the end. They just know they don't want to go on living this way anymore. And in that, in order for me to make that same exact change, what I had to do was look at all of my mentors and models over the last 40 years and then analyze through my questioning what worked, what didn't work, and what I want to take forward. And that conversation is going to be very personal. So I'm going to share a lot of stories, probably more than I should, because you know me, about how I have done that in many different areas. And ultimately, what we're going towards at the end of April, after we go through these personality assessments in February, and then deep dive into our models and our mentors in some really big areas in our life, is how do we move ourselves at home higher in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs? So back in podcast number 306 last fall, I talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There are five needs that every person has, and they're in a pyramid, and you start with the base and you go forward. And I talked about it as in chutes and ladders. Like, so base one is your physiological needs. You need food, water, warmth, and rest. So everybody needs to have those. If you're listening to a podcast, you definitely have those. Level two are your safety needs, security and safety, being in a safe relationship, being in a safe house. And I talked about those in relation to having a job, like having healthcare. I think that those are level one and level two. Then level three is belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships and friendships. And at home, we get up to level three and then somebody gets sick or you lose your job or something big happens and you drop all the way down to your physiological needs. We need food, we need water, we need warmth, we need rest. After we have nose, we need safety. We need security, safety, we need to get health care, we need all of those things. And often at home, we bounce up and down between one and three, one and three, one and three. And it is very hard for us to get to level four and five. Although in your work outside of home, you do get to level four and five because when you take a job, level one and two are just checked off automatically. So level three is belongingness and love needs. So you need to like your coworkers. You need to figure out where you're going to put your stuff when you get to work. You need to figure out what the lunch break routine is. You need to figure out, you know, how people here communicate. Is there sarcasm? No sarcasm. Do we send text GIFs or don't we send text GIFs? Like, what, you know, what's the lay of the land among people? That usually, level three, usually within your first 6 months of working somewhere, you feel like you belong by the end of 6 months. So in work, you're moving up to level four and five. Level four is your esteem needs, prestige, feeling of accomplishment. And level five is self-actualization, achieving one's full potential, including your creative outlets. So at work, by month seven, you are feeling accomplished. You've been through the 90-day probationary period. You understand the majority of what's going on there at work. You know what your job is. You've gotten projects done. You're starting to get rewards for that and feel like you're a contributing member. You jump up to level four. But at your house, how often do you feel prestige and a feeling of accomplishment? Which is level four, right? And part of why I feel that we don't feel that at home is multifaceted. Number one, the to-do list is never done. So we can't feel accomplished until we check off the to-do list, and that is our measure of success, and the to-do list is never done. Therefore, we never feel accomplished. Even if you got 18 things done that day, there's still 18 more on the to-do list, so you don't feel accomplished even though you've gotten so much done. That level four need is eliminated when you start using the Sunday basket effectively because you leave your to-dos in the Sunday basket. And on Sunday, you're only supposed to pull out of the to-do list the things that you can realistically accomplish this week. So at the end of a Tuesday, after you do the dinner dishes, or not, I'm not saying I always do them every night, you can go upstairs and start your bath at 7 o'clock and start your puzzle and watch TV because you're done with the Tuesday tasks. You're not done with the house forever, but you're done with your Tuesday tasks. This is how I take a bath and do a puzzle every single night and watch TV because the day's tasks are done. Not the entire house. I'm telling you, I walk around this house right now. There are plenty of things that are not put away and not done. But I don't live in a museum. I live in a house. And my work for the day is done so I can be done. Doing the Sunday basket, doing the 100-day program starts to give you that feeling of accomplishment. You start to see that the house is getting organized, that you're making progress. Do we get set back? Yes. Do you bounce down to level one, two, three, and climb back up again? Yes. But sometimes when you get knocked all the way down to level one, you can get back up to level four in a day, in one day. Like, it doesn't derail you for months or years. Like, once you have these systems in place, as you're getting your home organized, you feel a sense of accomplishment weekly and eventually daily. And then you get to the point where I am, where I walk in my house and I always feel a level of accomplishment. I never feel like I'm so far behind the eight ball at home that I'm never going to get caught up again. Now, in work, that's a different story. But at home, like, even if the shoes are out and the dishes aren't done or whatever, like, if I gave it an hour, I could get it caught up. So I just walk by it and go, it's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. Level five. That's what I want us to really unpack in the next couple of months. This self-actualization, this achieving one's full potential, including creative activities. This is doing a puzzle every night for no reason other than I like to do puzzles. Getting out all my scrapbooking supplies for a month and doing my scrapbooking because I like to do it. Does it contribute to my family? Yes, they love the photo albums. But really, it's a very expensive hobby that I love to do. Oh my gosh, so Greg does not have a lot of hobbies. And, you know, raising kids and earning money, it takes a lot of time. And we are entering middle age, apparently. So Abby's got her own zoo in the basement. She's got two ferrets and nine hamsters at the current counting. We have a dog, and I love fish tanks. And Greg is from Florida. He loves fish. He loves to fish. He loves fish tanks. He loves everything about fish. And when I met Greg, he had a fish tank. And when we got married, we had a fish tank. And along the way, you know, the fish died and the kids got busy and fish tanks get gross. And we got rid of fish tanks years ago. And I have been saying, I want a fish tank. I want a fish tank. He has a friend who has a saltwater fish tank that's like the size of a wall. And I've just been like, I want a fish tank. I want a saltwater tank. And when I say I want a fish tank, I mean, I want Greg to have a fish tank that I can watch the fish in. I don't want to even feed them. I just want to watch them. And I know they're a lot of work. A couple of weeks ago, Greg was like, I'm going to get a fish tank. I'm like, yes. So he goes and he gets this really small 5-gallon fish tank. I'm like, that is such a tiny fish tank. It's like a miniature of everything. And he comes home. He was so excited. He came home with the fish tank and the rocks and the coral and the Heidi things and all the things. And he sets up the fish tank. It has this really cool filter and this waterfall thing. And you have to let your fish tank sit for a certain amount of time before you add the fish in. He went and he got the fish and he added the fish in. And they were little neon tetras, which I really like. And they did not make it the night. And oh my gosh, was Greg. Oh. It was like we lost a child. It was terrible. And he had these little ghost shrimp, and the ghost shrimp eventually by the end of the week did not make it either. So we'd had the fish tank in our bed, and we moved the fish tank down into the kitchen. He reset it up. He recalibrated all the water. And then he started traveling to get these fish. So he got these little striped fish. Can't remember what they're called. I call them zippies because they zip around the fish tank. They're tiny. I mean, they're like maybe an inch long. He got three of those. And then the next day he goes out. So after work, he's like, I'm going to the fish store every day. It's so cool. He got a orange crayfish. So crayfish? I don't know. I don't know what the names are. I just like to watch them. So then every day when he gets home from work, when he comes home at lunch and in the morning, he goes to make sure that all the fish are still alive. He's got to check them all. He couldn't find the crayfish. He had to go to work. So I came down the next day and I saw the crayfish. I took a picture of it and I texted it to him. I was like, hey, Dad, I'm fine. He's like, okay, good. So the crayfish is good. So this weekend, he and Abby drove to a fish store that is an hour away. And he got three tiny little fish. They were a dollar each. He's like, this is the farthest you would drive to spend $3 on fish. Brought them home. They're all good. So we have now six fish and a crayfish. Next weekend, by the time you listen to this, it will have already happened, I'm sure. He's going back to that same pet store because they have this tiny puffer fish. It's like a miniature puffer fish. It never gets bigger than like less than an inch big. Like he has this whole teeny tiny fish tank. Like, think about a 5-gallon bucket, like a regular bucket that you mop your floor with. That's how big our fish tank is. And it is like all of these fish in there. So now the joke is, how many heartbeats are in the Woodruff household? So Abby has 2 ferrets, 9 hamsters. We have Hunter, Greg, Abby, and I. He's not counting Joey because he's not in the house, apparently. And then he starts counting his fish. We're up to 21 people, 21 heartbeats in the Woodruff Zoo. 22 when Joey comes home from college, just letting you know. Greg, for years, has gotten up, gone to work, come home, helped me with kids, gotten up, go to work, come home, helped me with kids. He's done this for years. For so long that I'm like, Greg, go out with your friends, get a hobby, do this. He's like, I don't know what I want to do anymore. I don't know. I'm just going to go to work. I'm just going to watch TV. I'm just this. This fish tank, you guys, is Greg self-actualization. Achieving his full potential, including creative activities. A fish tank. I'm not saying you have to go like start your own United Nations or anything. I'm saying what lights you up inside? What you're uniquely created to do right now? Greg's uniquely created to do this 5-gallon fish tank. So then his mom comes over for dinner, so excited. And he said, when I went to that fish store, like an hour away, he said, they had a big saltwater tank. Like that it's round. I was like, get it. And he's like, so expensive. I was like, get it. I was like, I want a saltwater fish tank. This is going to be so much fun. So we're going to go get the tiny baby puffer fish. And I'm going to see this saltwater fish tank. And I said to Greg, I said, he's traveling a lot the first half of the year. I'm so excited. He's going to the Keys to go fishing with his dad. He's going on 2 golf trips. We're going to Italy. Like, this is more traveling than Greg's done in a decade. And we're going to do a ton of traveling. And then come September, I'm traveling on the book tour. I said, this is perfect. You do all your traveling. We go to the beach every July. I said, then in August, get the saltwater fish tank because he's going to be home the second half of the year. One, to take care of all these heartbeats. And two, because he'll be out of vacation days. But I am hitting the road for the book tour. And I am hoping that when I come back, you know, he's working on this saltwater fish tank every night. This is his thing. These next 10 podcasts don't have to be... Say hi to Hunter. These next 10 podcasts don't have to be, this is the thing I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is the thing I was uniquely created for, and now I'm going to be Oprah Winfrey. I'm just saying, as you are at home getting to level 4 and 5, let's start testing out what that is. I've done a ridiculous amount of puzzles in the last 7 months because I felt like I hadn't done any for 17 years. Now I'm like, you know, I probably could do something beyond puzzles. But for the last 7 months, I have so enjoyed doing puzzles. It has been just carving out that time for me every day and creatively doing that questioning, puzzling little spatial awareness thing that I love has really, really helped me. So I am hoping that you will enjoy these podcasts as well. Obviously, somebody is coming at the house and Hunter would like me to go. Before I leave you, I want to tell you one thing. I would love for you to go over to the Organize 365 website and take our quiz. If you're wondering where are you in the getting organized journey, there are a couple of different reasons why you're ready to start getting organized now or why you're listening to the Organize 365 podcast. And in the quiz, we unpack what is your why, how much time do you have to spend on organizing right now, and where are you in the organizing journey? Are you decluttering, organizing, or increasing productivity? And if you took this quiz when we came out with it last year, your answers will probably vary. There are 144 different combinations of answers after taking this quiz, and some people have taken the quiz more than one time. They wait about 6 months to take it again, and they're like, you're right, Lisa, my questions and my answers have totally changed, and I'm at a different level of organizing. So let's start this next couple months of diving into what makes you uniquely you, what is your unique giftings, what models and mentors do we need going forward. Start by taking the Organize 365 quiz. You can find that by going to organize365.com/quiz.